Well, hello, hello. Welcome back. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Todd, Q, what the hell is going on?
It's all messed up.
Nope.
It's like, guess your personality.
Nope.
They know who we are.
Why does it mess do that?
Oh, there he is. Who knows?
Nope.
It's kind of close.
This is entertainment.
This is.
Hey, there we go.
No.
Oh, it moves it every single time. I don't know. Weird. I don't know what's going on.
Just ride with it.
Anyways, week three. Here we go. How y'all doing?
Good. I need a bounce back. I went 2-9. I had to own my losses. I need to find the end zone a couple times here.
Yeah, 5-7 week for me. Lost 2 units. So I struggled a little bit. Some bad beats in there. I know a couple of mine matched Q's as well. Like we talked about Utah on Tuesday's show. That felt like that should have been a hit.
Dude, that was. We were up 23-0.
Yeah, a couple others as well. So it was one of those just weeks that happened in college football. So yeah, bounce back here. Don't have a ton on the board yet. So let's hope it's a good week.
Yeah, 3-9.
Yeah, you really sucked it up last week. So yeah. I can only assume that y'all will all go undefeated and I'll go.
Hey, 3-9. I still can't stand Nebraska. 28 points at the half. I needed 31.5. Thanks, guys.
All right. We've got a good one tonight. I'm excited about it. So my wife booked us to go on a trip with, not really a trip, I guess. We're just going across town to watch a high school football game here in Arizona, Kansas State. I don't know if it's grounds for divorce, but it's damn close. Arizona opened up +7.5, I think is what I got it at. It's a touchdown right now. It may be 6.5 in other places. Kansas State didn't look incredibly good. Avery Johnson, a lot of question marks still for me on him, but one guy that I do know a lot about, that's Tetero McMillan, and he's a damn good receiver. Noah Fifita, quarterback. Arizona Wildcats can put up points in a hurry. Do any of y'all have anything tonight on this matchup of the Wildcats versus Wildcats? Todd, yeah, you're shaking your head. Let's roll.
Yeah, team points over Kansas State. I think it's going to be high scoring. I think Kansas State's going to score a lot. You watched this a couple weeks ago. New Mexico was putting points up against Arizona. So, and again, the quarterback from New Mexico threw for some yards in that game, also ran for some good yardage in that. So maybe the running back tonight is Johnson, I think, can get some yards on that. You know, let's see what they do defensively, because the star wide receiver for Arizona had a really tough game last week against Northern Arizona. I think he only had 2 catches for 11 yards. But I think this is up and down. I think it's high scoring. I know where Nick's going to go with this, but I wrote him earlier in the week. I was eyeing up Kansas State team points, so I do like that. So that's what I played.
Yeah, I got Arizona. Arizona in a teaser. I may end up jumping on an alt line to get 7 and a hook for Arizona if it's still at 7 on my book. I just think it's this is a game where Kansas State kind of got away from Tulane last week. Avery Johnson's got to play a lot better. I mean, from what he's shown and kind of what the expectations are, he's played pretty underwhelming. If you're Kansas State, you want to grind this out with David Giddens and Avery Johnson on the run game, just milk the clock. But if you're Arizona, you got to either stop the run or score a ton. You may have to do both. But that's if you're Kansas State, you don't want to get in a shootout with Arizona because they have the horses to hit you with one punch and score. This is crazy. This is the best game of the slate is a Friday night. But, hey, we'll take it. A little Friday night, get you tuned up for the weekend. So it should be a good matchup, and I'm on Arizona.
Nick.
Yeah, this is my best bet of the weekend. And it comes on little Friday night lights. I have over 58.5. I think there's some 59s, maybe 60s out there right now. Still very playable. I think both teams get in the 30s here. So I'm kind of on that with Smitty as well, Kansas State team total. I heard that. So I was confused with that Arizona Northern Arizona score last weekend as well. Turns out they sat four starters on offense. T-Mac was – it was like a nagging injury or sick or something, so he didn't really play a whole lot. So that kind of goes towards that stat line. He'll put up numbers against anybody. So, yeah, trust this Arizona offense, get their points. And then Kansas State, I actually went back. This is one of the games I went back and watched, them against Tulane. I missed the whole thing. And they're just not running him a whole lot yet. I don't know if that's by design, because he is kind of a slender guy, and they just know, like, their only way into the playoff is to win the Big 12. So I'm wondering if they are kind of holding him back a little bit. So I do think this is the week he starts running the ball a lot more. And yeah, this Kansas State offense, I don't know if I trust him yet, but I trust him against this Arizona defense that I don't know if it's going to be able to stop a lot of people this year. They'll get in a bunch of shootouts. I think this is one of them. Both teams end up in the 30s, staying off the side, but yeah, taking the total here at 58.5.
In the last 3 years, Chris Klieman, he may have been there before that, but I just went back 3 years. Kansas State 11-3 against the spread as a home favorite. Keep that in mind. Alabama, Wisconsin, jump around. Are they going to be? Is Bama going to repeat their performance against USF? Who knows? I've sat here and looked at this. This should be a top matchup. The spread wouldn't indicate that at all, with Alabama laying 16.5. What do y'all make of this? Todd, I'm going to go to you. And tell me why Wisconsin. Can you make a case?
No, I don't know. I mean, because with the Bama game last week, that game was really tight against South Florida until the very end. You took it off for a second, and they really scored some points there late. I mean, again, Bama has a team, great defense, good offense, and score a lot. This Wisconsin team, we've been saying it on this show now for, you know, last year a lot. They went into more of the air raid, throwing the ball. I mean, when we grew up, it was always pound the ball. You had the big offensive line guys. Ron Dane was going up the middle and just pound the ball, pound the ball. Now they're trying to throw all over the place. Van Dyke. You know, looking at his numbers, I don't know how great of a quarterback he is personally.
He's not great. Don't even say
no. Okay, so Q's going to jump in. I don't think he's very good. So I just don't know. Now, they do. I did see this since 2005. They're usually not a dog at home at all. And when they are a dog, they are 6-2 ATS in those games. Again, it is a great atmosphere, a little jump around, we'll get after it. But I think the athletes, the team, I think Bama's just way too strong for this team. And I think if it is close, maybe they'll pull away. It's nothing for me on this game. I'll keep an eye on it and try to watch a little bit. But I think Bama should be in okay shape.
I'll jump in. I think the Roll Tide are going to damage Camp Randall, so they might as well get the rebuild crew, because it's nothing but Roll Tide this weekend. I for the life of me, I don't understand this, and I said it off air to Smitty, and I mentioned it to – couple others. I don't understand why a coach like Luke Fickell, you're at Wisconsin, right? A premier program. Why do you think Tyler Van Dyke is suddenly going to be this great quarterback for you when he struggled at Miami, at his other school previously? Like, he's just not the guy. So to bring in a quarterback that, for all intents and purposes, nobody wanted, that's a recipe for disaster. You're already, yeah, you're 2-0, but you've kind of struggled to get to those two wins, 0-2 against the spread. I think Bama's got a lot to prove. They played a little sloppy, like Chris Phillips from SEC you mentioned earlier on our special with him. They've got to clean that up under Kalen DeBoer. That's not the Nick Saban 15 years that we've seen. So I think there's really an onus since the fourth quarter for Bama to kind of flex their muscle. And I think this is a big spot on national television on the noon Fox 5 game to do that against, for all intents and purposes, an underwhelming Wisconsin team, when a lot of people thought Luke Fickell was going to kind of bring in a new air raid offense. They were going to be kind of the Big Ten power hitters, as many believed, and they're just not living it up. So Roll Tide, I think they cover this. I think it's a 17-21 point win.
Nick?
Yeah, I can't get to that number. I could see it going both ways. I can see this kind of low scoring. I haven't been impressed with Alabama's offense at all. Like, there's been so much put on Milroe's back so far.
There's lack of talent, for sure.
Yeah, it's very un-Alabama-like. Recently, and it was one of the things I mentioned on our preseason show when you guys were, it was kind of like you guys were both on the, like, their over win total. I leaned under but didn't play it. I just don't know what to expect from this Alabama team, and there hasn't been anything I've seen so far that has shown me that they're an elite team that should be ranked fourth? Like, is it a top 10 team? Possibly. We'll see. I think they struggle to get in the playoff because they probably are, in my opinion, the fourth or fifth best SEC team right now. So I just can't get to 16. I am leaning Alabama first half minus 7.5. I'm hoping that number gets to 7. I don't know if it will, but it's still at minus 110 juice. For 7.5, I might play it just because I think they're going to want to kind of get out to a quick start here and kind of quiet the crowd. So that would be my lean here. I can't get to 16 with this team yet until they show me something.
All right. Staying in the SEC, the Missouri Tigers host the Boston College Golden Eagles. And I don't know what to make of this number. When I first saw it, I thought it was way too high. But now I'm kind of rethinking, is Boston College really good or was Florida State just really bad? Boston College 2-0 against the spread. So is Missouri. And this is a lot to lay. The spread on the website likes Missouri to cover. You guys giving Boston College any chance here? Do you think Castellanos can run around on this Missouri defense who has not allowed a point? You're going to hear that a lot, I'm sure, tomorrow's broadcast. Yes, they've shut out two opponents. Missouri, not really known for defense. You more so hear about Luther Burden, Brady Cook. Todd, what are you doing here?
Not much. I'll be honest. This is just one again. I played their Missouri team points over and they fell short last week. Defense has been good. I think, Matt, you just made a great point. We saw BC one time. They looked actually really good. I like the running quarterback. I thought they pounded the ball. But again, is Florida State that good? I think that's a question. It's one of these just to kind of see what happens. And I think Mizzou will win the game. I don't know if they cover. And again, I'm not giving too much advice on this because I really don't have any.
Q?
It's a stay away, but if I had to make a play, I think this is a really good spot for Matt's favorite bet, a teaser. This is a 14 to 17 point game, in my opinion. So if you could catch a 6 or 7 point teaser, you're right in there for a winner. But this is a very underwhelming top 25. I think you see two things of Boston College. I think Florida State is that bad, but I also think Bill O'Brien has Boston College slightly trending in the up direction. Castellanos is kind of their only offense. They like to run that wheel route with their running back. So I think Missouri's defense, while susceptible against SEC teams, like, they should be able to play good enough football to win by at least two scores here, if not more, and potentially cover the line outright. Just cover that wheel route, whether it's, you know, what side of the field it is, and just spy Castellanos because, again, that's – yes, while Bill O'Brien runs a good game plan and he's got him on the up direction, that's all they have right now until they can recruit a little better. So this is a spot where Drinkwitz can't succumb to a weaker opponent and play down. He's really got to keep those boys locked in, keep the crowd in it, and make a statement win here.
Nick?
Yeah, this is one of my official plays, actually. So I took Mizzou, was able to get that minus 14. I probably wouldn't play it at 16.5, 17. That's probably where the line is drawn. Yeah, I think Missouri is just that much better than Boston College. I think Boston College is one of those teams early in the season. It's a little bit of fool's gold. Like I said, we've all said, I just don't think Florida State's any good. Now, they did handle them. I'll give them that. But we saw Georgia Tech, who beat Florida State, turn around and get beat by Syracuse last weekend. I think the same thing happens at Boston College. Brady Cook hasn't even played well yet, hasn't really needed to. Luther Burden coming off of sickness. I know he's probable for this weekend. I'm expecting him to play. But yeah, I just think this is also like a sleepy 12:45 game. So even like the networks weren't expecting this to be any good. I think just power rating wise, Missouri's way ahead of Boston College. This number is probably a little bit off. Happy to get it at 14. And Matt, if you haven't heard, their defense hasn't given up a point yet. So we'll see. I think that will change. I do think they will keep this. I don't think Boston College scores a lot on them. So, yeah, give me Missouri, probably around like 31-14, 31-17 type game.
So here's what you do. It's a weird start time. It's going to be 45 minutes after the game day game of LSU
South Carolina. Stupid stadium with a
good game. Yeah, no, hardly any home field advantage for Missouri. When it's halftime of LSU or Alabama, whatever game you're watching, just go over – check the box score, see who's moving the ball, and then live bet it if you just really want to sweat out a Missouri-Boston College game. That may be the only way I can recommend betting it. But this one, Oregon. Q, Todd, I know that you guys probably could write some very hateful things to Dan Lanning for not getting you guys the team total. The under was the play, or the over, whatever I bet. I can't remember. The over.
Yeah.
90% of the money coming in on the over in this one. What do you make of Oregon? Are they good? Are they not good? Can they play defense? They can't stop the run. I don't know. I think Dan Lanning is just out to try to not cover games and let everybody play him closely. All the trick plays, I don't get it. I'm against it. You're from Georgia. Last time I checked, Kirby Smart's MO is run the ball and play defense. Oregon has the ability to do it with Jordan James. Why in the world he's getting cute? I don't know. Does Oregon finally get right here, Q? I'll go to you first. This is a big number in a rivalry game. Do you think Oregon covers?
Man, I don't know. I want to say yes, right? Because on paper, we look at the talent. It's just far superior than this Beaver team. But again, I thought they should get to 39.5 with a blink of an eye, and they couldn't do that. You know, the week before, they gained like 900 yards of offense and had 26 points to show for it. They're the best 80-yard football team in the country. They're ranked number one. They just can't score once they get in the run zone. And I'm sorry, but when you go against, you know, Texas, Ohio State, like these teams can score in the 20s. They're a 100-yard football team. And that's where, you know, again, like you mentioned, the cute stuff, it's got to go away. Ohio State doesn't do cute things. Texas doesn't do cute things. They really didn't do cute things last year. They were punching teams in the mouth. I don't understand why, for all intents and purposes, you get a better quarterback, you know, rated on paper with Dylan Gabriel over Bo Nix, and now you want to get all cute and fancy. Just run what you did last year and maybe not go for it on fourth down as much. I think you did about 80 times in the season, and in the two most important games, you couldn't figure that out. So I think Dan Lanning's, man, I'll tell you what, this seems like the prototypical Oregon team that they've had under Chip Kelly, under Mario Cristobal. Like, they're good, but they're not great. Is that kind of what Dan Lanning's morphing into, is just that guy that can't ever win the big game, you know, and maybe is considered a potential letdown? Like, this is a huge game. I know it's only week three, but that's kind of where this is. Like, do we go 3 weeks? If that's the case, maybe this team's not as hot as we thought. And I mentioned the receiving core took a hit, but they right the ship here. And I think, you know, the panic buttons, we're not hitting it yet, but the hand's over it.
Nick?
Yeah, I think Oregon ended up winning this game. I can't get to that number, though. I think it's a little, like you said, until this is another prove-it-to-me game. Eventually, I think they – I still feel like there's so much talent on that team. They need to get the offensive line figured out. I know they have a couple injuries. They've had two guys out for their first two games of the year, but that doesn't explain their defense. And Oregon State loves to run the ball, should be able to do it against Oregon. So that number is kind of up there. I'm leaning on the total here, playing the over. I know it's available at 49.5 right now. But I think Oregon State's going to try to just run this into the ground and see if they can just see if they can soak up time, keep the ball out of Dylan Gabriel's hands. So that's the only reason I'm kind of questioning it. But also, this could be Oregon's breakout game and they put up 40 themselves. That wouldn't surprise me either. But if this is, like I said, a show me game, I don't have anything on this right now, but I think Oregon is a better team, but not trending great. And then this is one of those rivalry games. Oregon State's got to be pissed. They kind of left them out to dry and left them for the Big Ten, and Oregon State's kind of without a conference for right now. So there's some of that factored in. So I don't know. Like I said, can't get to the 16.5. Lean towards the over here, but yeah, no play for me yet.
Smitty?
The Civil War. You got to love it. Yeah, I'm not on this number either yet. I don't know. I mean, we said that on the recap show. You know, we thought it was going to happen last week with them. They were going to score in the 40s, and then they were in trouble in that game. Couple big plays got them back against Boise. Oregon State again last week against San Diego State, only 7-0. They pulled away a little bit late. You know, like, they're going to pound the ball. Matt said it already. Oregon has not stopped the run. So you know that Oregon State's going to really do that a lot. So the last two times they played here, though, at Oregon State has won the game. So home field there is tough. So we'll see at the Civil War. But right now, it's no play for me.
All right, Audie Wise asked on Twitter for us to do a special preview of LSU South Carolina. This is a interesting game, in my opinion, because Shane Beamer, it's not been great. It's I think 4 years at Columbia coaching for South Carolina, who's really been irrelevant, like I said, on with Chris since Steve Spurrier, if I don't get stuff thrown at me from South Carolina fans, you're kind of in purgatory right now. You need a big win. I wouldn't personally think a home victory over this LSU squad would be a big win, but I mean, you look at the spread, 6.5, 6, wherever it is now. I think South Carolina could win this game outright. This is just going to be one of those that I'm going to watch intently and try to live bet it. Y'all know that I'm not high on I kept wanting to say Zach Mettenberger, Garrett Nussmeier. Yeah, basically the same person. But Jane Daniels isn't walking through that door. And LSU is struggling. Nicholls State was in the game for 3.5 quarters. I don't know what LSU's expectations are now. You lose your running back, the best running back that they had, in my opinion, in that USC game, number 22. He's out for the year. South Carolina needs a big win. You've got game day there. It is a morning game or a noon game, which sucks for them. But I don't know what they're going to have to do to win this game. I don't really have the blueprint on how to beat LSU. I don't think they have the quarterback that USC had to be able to do it. Something tells me that the Gamecocks are going to be in this game come the fourth quarter. So I like them plus the points. Toddy, what are you thinking?
Well, I know our good friend, the South Carolina legend, Steve Tannehill, is going to be fired up for this one. So it's a tough team to figure out. I mean, week one, they were struggling against Old Dominion, should have lost the game. Then they just whipped Kentucky last week. But I'm going to say that Kentucky quarterback was not good. That was a bad quarterback. So this one's strange. I don't know. It's a weird card this week. It's a lot like you want to pull the trigger on some of these games. We saw LSU on that Monday night. You think they should be okay to go in here. It's going to be – that place will be rocking. This game's going to be ugly. South Carolina's going to try to make it ugly. I think they'll hang around in this game.
Here's what I think. I think LSU showed you what they were in USC. That was the best that they're going to perform all season long, and they still lost. Then they had a chance to bounce back last weekend against Nicholls State and didn't really look good. I think they're telling us what they are. South Carolina, yeah, congratulations, you beat Kentucky. Brock Vandegrift had 3 more pass completions than we all did last weekend against South Carolina. Not very good. Q, what are you doing here?
Well, I think to answer your earlier question, that the key for South Carolina is you got to establish the run. The quarterback, Rocket Sanders, I mean, they're running 40 to 50 times a game. They're a run-heavy team. They really don't have a receiving room. Zellers isn't a great passing quarterback. And then on the other side, LSU's got to stop the run because that's, frankly, all South Carolina has. And then if you're Nussmeier, you got to throw the ball effectively because you no longer have a run game for all intents and purposes, unless you have, you know, a star in the making on the bench that you didn't realize you had. He does have the ability to make some passes. He did make some passes against USC. South Carolina's defensive backs aren't the greatest. So for you to have to lean on the passing game, it's not the worst thing in the world, but again, LSU is going to have to stop the run, load the box, and make them beat you by the throw. If they do, you tip your cap to them. You know, it is what it is. But if you're LSU, I mean, you got to score points. You're going to have to throw the ball, and you're going to have to make completions. So from that standpoint on, that's the game. I think LSU can do it. I'm not high on Beamer ball. He's not his dad. I think last week they played a Kentucky team where I think Mark Stoops is regretting not going to A&M after he rescinded his acceptance. I just think LSU's better on paper, and this is a game that they really need, really more than South Carolina, because there's more pressure on LSU football than there is, you know, in Columbia. So I think LSU escapes Columbia with a close win here.
Nick?
This is one of my top 3 plays of the weekend. That'll be later in the show. I took the first half total under 24.5. You guys kind of spelled out how this game's going to play out. I completely agree. The best matchups, you got two first-round picks at tackle for LSU against a five-star freshman. I can't even remember his name right now on South Carolina defensive ends. He's been dominating so far. But, yeah, and Ness Myers, he's played well. You can't put any of this LSU stuff on him so far. I'm kind of higher on him than you guys are. But he's got to find somebody else besides Kyren Lacy, who will eventually be a top, like top receiver pick in the NFL. And yeah, like you said, their run game's gone. So if this pass rush does anything, LSU's going to struggle. But I think South Carolina's offense, I don't know. They put up 41. You see that 41 up there on the board against Kentucky. That was not 41 normal points. Like there was, like you mentioned, that
turnovers.
Turnovers, weird bounces, like some. Like just great luck over there. So you can't trust Lenore Sellers either. Like you said, to throw the ball. Rocket Sanders has been like literally getting pounded into the ground, getting like 25 carries. He doesn't look the same to me.
Yards.
Yeah, I've unfortunately watched that Kentucky game. He doesn't look explosive right now. I don't know if his legs are tired or what they're doing, but it's going to be the same script because they know they can't throw. I don't think either team is really going to try to speed this game up or make this quick tempo. So getting under 24.5 in the first half, I think is a great play for me, and like I'm playing it.
Yeah, I like that.
All right, let's go to Gainesville. I think I'm going to do it again. We'll unveil on my best bets. But Florida Gators, it's make or break time for Billy Napier. I know Q wants them to lose. I think they've got to win this game. I think I got it at +4.5. That's what the current number is. Florida Gators, I opened up the season taking them +3.5 against Miami. That was my best bet, and it lost. It was over before I could sit down with a cold beer to watch the game. It was over. Texas A&M, though, does not look good, in my opinion. Mike Elko is going to have them fine. I think I've said it forever. A&M is a 8-4 team. Some seasons you may get a 10-2 ceiling. But you're an 8-4 football team. I don't care if it's Mark Stoops coaching you, Jimbo Fisher, or now Mike Elko. Sorry, that's my piece. We'll see if Connor Wiegman can bounce back from that piss-poor showing against Notre Dame. We're not going to talk much more about Notre Dame. Sorry, Nick.
NIU
is still running wild. Todd, what are you doing here?
Oh, I'll just enjoy Q's tweets or I don't know. This one's kind of weird too. I've been looking at this all week. I kind of want to pull the trigger on Florida. I really do. I have not yet. I was not impressed with A&M. You know, I had them money line and the quarterback. Yeah, like you said, Matt, really let's see kind of if he can bounce back. Great environment. That place will be, you know, again, good atmosphere. We'll just see. It goes back to Florida's defense. Can they stop people? And Q, who's quarterbacking? I have not even seen who's quarterbacking.
Both of them. Yeah, they're both going to play.
Both going to play.
Mertz will take the first snaps.
Okay. All right. So right now, I mean, I think it's two teams that I could see Florida hanging this. If I would do a lean right now, I think I'd take the points and take Florida.
Q?
Texas A&M's defensive line is going to bash Florida's offensive line. At the end of the day, like, Graham Mertz is a quality quarterback. He showed that last year when he did have some time to actually make a throw, let the receivers run their route. But that's not going to happen this week. That doesn't make Graham a bad quarterback. It's just nothing around him is working. They're going to have to go to DJ early. I don't know if Billy Napier will do that. I kind of hope he doesn't. Again, I hope this loss is for the greater good. But to win the game, DJ has to play because DJ can scramble and DJ can move around and extend the play. We saw that, albeit it was against Samford, but the ability to essentially get out of a bad situation, be able to still keep the eyes downfield and make a play. And he did that really well. Now, again, this is a step up in competition, but the principle remains the same. You extend plays, things can happen. A&M's offense, it's anemic. Like, this Florida's defense is anemic. That to me helps Florida because Wiegman's not that great. And, you know, they put him questionable on the injury list, which tells you he's not 100%. I'm not saying he's not 90, not saying he's 50, but there is some lingering issues. I think everybody can kind of attest he hasn't came out like to what people thought he would. Maybe he's hurt still. Maybe he's just rusty. Who knows? But Florida's defense, I think, will be able to hang in this game because of Wiegman's lack of ability here. Ultimately, I think A&M comes in and wins the game. Realistically, it's Florida's in a bad spot right now. I think they need to get Billy Napier out of here and sell out for a big-time coach. And I think if they lose this game and it's not that competitive, he's gone, I think.
Nick?
Yeah, I don't have much on this one. I'm pretty sure Q covered it. He's definitely got the inside here. This is a game where I wouldn't be watching it if it was a normal college football slate at 3:30. There's just not a lot of options, but these are two big programs. Just over time. So, you know, a lot of eyes will be on it. Yeah, these are two teams that are really struggling. Mike Elko, I will give him time before anything. I mean, I think he can kind of turn that. Yeah, he can turn that program around. There's obviously going to be growing pains. Connor Wiegman hasn't shown that he can, I don't think he's good enough to blow out anybody and just put up a ton of points. So if Florida keeps us close, maybe the swamp comes into play. I did see that Florida fans said they were going to boo Mertz if he comes out.
Mertz is the issue.
But yeah, and that's not fair to him either. He's not been the problem. Like you said, Mertz, you cannot be blamed for anything. But I get what their sentiment is. It's towards Billy.
I don't think the boos are directed at Mertz. Yeah. It's the fact that Mertz would be coming in.
Yeah, and that's still, as a 22-year-old kid, that's not something you want to hear. So from 100,000 fans. So yeah, I don't know. Let's see how they play. I'll probably have this one on my second TV on mute, watching something better. And this will be one. Maybe check in the fourth quarter and see if it's 14-13.
All right, UCF, TCU, somebody's got to win. Somebody's got to cover. UCF 2-0 against the spread. TCU 0-2. They fall from grace after the miracle run with Max Duggan to make it to the national championship game. I don't know what to make of this other than I've seen Gus Malzahn. I've seen KJ Jefferson. I feel like they're going to struggle on the road. Sonny Dykes has got to do something with this TCU team. Our numbers make it 3.8 in favor of TCU. I did bet it earlier in the week. I almost said earlier in the year. That would be degenerate right there. I got a money line minus 115, I believe, on TCU. Is it going to surprise me if KJ Jefferson plays well? No, but on the flip side, I think it's hard to win on the road. And from what I've seen out of KJ thus far and what I know what he can be, I think he's going to struggle. Todd, I think you're on TCU with me here. I'll let you break this one down. Why'd you back the Horned Frogs?
Well, this is one I just ran a couple some score predictors and everything, and it was pretty good for TCU. Then our site also, that really was the convincer because our site's the best, and I really enjoyed that. So, and then I saw you jumped on it. So I was eyeing it, and the number was moving a little bit. So I jumped on it last night. I got TCU, I think, minus 110, and I think it's even jumped a little bit more now today. And I agree with you with Jefferson. I just think I've had him on my fantasy team and just not putting up great numbers. I think this is going to be a tough spot. Again, going on the road, I think TCU, I like the numbers. I like where it's trending. I like TCU to win this game.
Q?
I got nothing. I'm just going to pass.
Nick?
Easy enough. I'm waiting on this UCF number to keep climbing. I'm going to be on their side. Right now, the money line is plus 110. I think that could probably get to plus 120 by game time, if not early in the afternoon. TCU just can't stop the run. We saw what Stanford did to him, and Stanford's rush offense is way worse than UCF's. UCF is averaging about 445 yards on the ground per game. I know that's against kind of nobody, but even against air, I know Smitty, who bet against them, would be out of breath by running 445 yards. So it's not easy. So I'm on the UCF side here. I think everything leans UCF, except for being on the road. But how much right now is this TCU home field advantage? They know they're rebuilding. They know Sonny Dykes just doesn't have this program up and rolling right now. So I think this stays. UCF is not going to be forced to pass. And that's the big thing on KJ Jefferson is if you get him in third and longs and it's a guaranteed pass down, that's when he struggles. But yeah, I mean, this team's averaging what, 51 points per game, and 419 yards on the ground. And TCU's, like I said, awful against the rush. I lean UCF here. It's probably gonna be one of my plays. Wanted to do it, but once I saw like the number movement over the last couple of days, just waiting on the UCF number to keep climbing and climbing, and then I'll take the money line.
All right, we alluded to it. I'll show. Jump into your best bets, Todd.
Yeah, you know, one of my favorite sayings is you're not showing off, but you're not falling far behind. Well, if I have a bad week, I'm falling far behind. So we got to get going here. All right. So we had some tough ones last week, but yeah, let's just go. I already said it, Kansas State. I think it's going to be high scoring. I like Nick's play on that too. I think both teams are going to score, but let's get Kansas State, get it over. TCU, I just said it. Now, why UCLA? And I, you know, it's a great thing when you wake up at like 6 a.m. and Q already has a big long text and everything, and then you have to talk about it. I love this Indiana team. I gave it on the guide, the win total over. Now, they are 2-0. But again, they played Florida International and they played Western Illinois. Western Illinois has a 26-game losing streak. They have not won since October 30th, 2021. And I'm not saying going out to UCLA in the Rose Bowl or wherever they play out there. It's crazy. Let's bring back the big pom-poms from the 80s and hand those out tomorrow. I just think UCLA played Hawaii. They did not play well in the first half. Got it going a little bit in the second half. They've had a week off. It's first road test for Indiana. Again, I don't know the competition Indiana's played. I don't think it's been great. I think this is a good spot. And +3, I'm going to take the points there, and let's see what happens. Please, somebody win a bet for me on this site. Right here, Smitty's Picks. Let's get to at least 2 points next week. Let's go.
Fading Kurt Cinetti. Oh, said, Google me, I win. Nick, shaking your head. What are you doing here?
Oh, see, I'm on Indiana side. It's like 16 to – you said they picked it up in the second half to what, score 16 points against Hawaii?
Hey, just easing into it. Nobody's pulling a hamstring.
Oh, I'm on the other side. Yeah.
I like the week off too. I like the week off coming into the game. Sorry, Nick.
Yeah, everybody likes the bye week in the first week of the season.
we discussed two of mine already. Arizona, Kansas State tonight is my best bet. We discussed LSU, South Carolina. It was between those two, which my best bet was going to be basically flip a coin. Like both of those. Ole Miss kind of speaks for itself here. Lane Kiffin is all over the Jackson Dart for Heisman campaign. Wake Forest last weekend gave up 31 to Virginia. That Virginia offense is not good. So I think Ole Miss's offense is 10 points better. Wake Forest also runs a play every 22 seconds, which is top 30 in the country. So it's not like they're going to even slow it down either and keep Ole Miss off the field, whether their offense has any success or not. I'm taking the actual total out of it because I don't know what this Wake Forest offense really is besides up-tempo. And, yeah, give me – even if Jackson Dart plays through three quarters, I think you're getting over this 42.5 team total.
Can you really run an up-tempo offense if you're not scoring?
Like, they do. They try.
Where are you going in a hurry? Q? Yeah.
Yeah, I was like Smitty 0-3 last week. Man, I thought I had a good card. Apparently not. It's funny how the sport will humble you. I'm on Arkansas minus 13.5 in the first half. I think they had a hard practice. They blew the game last week where they up 17 at one point. I think they right the ship here against UAB, take out some frustration, score often and early. Michigan, I think they're in the same situation. The offense looks atrocious. They've got to figure something out. I think this is a game where they can kind of take their frustrations, build some momentum against an Arkansas State team, like highly inferior opponent, and Michigan should get out of here with, frankly, 30-plus point win and try to start getting on the right track there offensively. And then Kansas, not many great games this week on the card, but I do like them to bounce back at home and win by a touchdown. I know it's close, right? I'm only covering that by a half, but I think they can get it done. Trap week last week, I wish all of us would have taken Illinois. It was free money, and we just chose not to. It just seemed too surreal, but they lost it. They still have Devin Neal. They still have Daniels, who can be, you know, effective when he's accurate, not throwing three or four picks. So I think they do just enough to cover and win by a touchdown here.
All right. That game is tonight, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Another good one. Okay. And for mine, I struggled with it. Florida plus 4.5, whatever. Just live or die by Billy Napier. That's what everybody wants to do, right? Arkansas minus 13.5. I'm going to say Q copied me here. Minus 13.5. Nick said something about 12.5.
Yep. I got it today.
I don't, if we saw anything last weekend as a flaw for Arkansas, other than closing out a game, it is our kicking. I don't think we're very good to get to 12.5. That would be two field goals. Unless Pittman just really wants to try to kick her out there to practice. I don't know. I think two touchdowns will be the way to go. So hot start, pissed off in front of the home crowd. Go take care of business. And then Indiana UCLA under 46.5 is what it currently is at. This is one that I struggled back and forth. I kind of really wanted to bet UCLA here. I thought the number was just tempting enough. But then the more I dove into it, UCLA's path to victory will be to keep it lower scoring. Deshaun Foster, not good in interviews, but decent at calling defensive plays from what I've seen. But I think they could make this a low-scoring game. I would like to have a plus 3.5 ticket on UCLA if this is tight going into the fourth quarter, but I think the better way to attack it is the under. So there's my card. Q, I can't even hate you if Florida loses this again. Two bets in 3 weeks. But you just think Florida's done, huh?
Yeah, I just, unless DJ, I mean, I don't know. I broke it down. This is a game where I want them to lose. They'll probably end up winning and they'll probably put everything together and look like this great team and then put false hope. And I'll be texting you guys. We're back. Everything's fine.
Do just enough to keep Billy alive another week.
Our ass is blown out and we're back to misery. So my team suck right now. The Dolphins last night, the Gators on Sundays. It's just bad weekends. I'm ready for college baseball.
All right. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. We will be back next week for the recap show. Let you know what we thought about the upcoming week 3 of college football. Until then, we'll see you later.